for our visitors when Coleman says, "You have any food?" We know what it means. And from this sanctuary, many, many people in need are being fed week after week, thanks to the generosity of so many people in our church. Our scripture readings this morning came from two very different directions, with reasons for choosing them for reading today. The first of all, of course, is Psalm 150. Yes, you've guessed it, because today we celebrate the music in our church, and also we welcome our new church musician. And you cannot do that without thinking of Psalm 150, because that's our inspiration. So this morning I'm going to invite us all to read with me. It will be appear on the screen, and let us say Psalm 150 together. Hallelujah. Our second reading is somewhat longer than you would expect. And I thought, let's read it all, because it's so important. And then I promised to make good, because I made the sermon a little bit shorter. Luke 24, Gospel according to Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them. But they were not able to recognize who he was. And he asked, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. And then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during the last few days?" He said, "What has happened?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. And then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since it happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. And they came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the women said, but they didn't see Jesus." And then he said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophet said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory?" And then he started at the beginning with the books of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. And they came to the edge of the village where they were headed. And he acted as if he were going on, but they pressed him. "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done." So he went in with them. And here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed, broke and gave it to them. And at that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. "Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us?" They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their friends gathered together, talking away. "It's really happened. The Master has been raised up. Simon saw him." And then the two went over everything that happened on the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that you and I would be open, listening, receiving. God is closer to us than our own breathing. There's a saying amongst clergy: Easter is over and all the clergy are now at rest. And I know that my colleagues here will be able to relate to that. It is from the first day of Lent, it is busy time in the church. But we also have that gratitude in our hearts this morning. What a great season it was. So much beauty we experienced. So often we became aware of God's presence in many different ways. Now, Easter is really not an end. It is a beginning for many. It's of great importance for every follower of Jesus Christ, as important as it was for those who were underway to Emmaus. Now, this is not only a biblical story, but it has significance for us here today. And let me tell you, it can also touch and change your life and mine in many different ways. Now, in oversight, the shortest possible summary of today's gospel reading would be: following the crucifixion, two early Christians were walking together away from Jerusalem. They were returning home, they were despondent, they were without hope, because as far as they were concerned, Jesus was now dead, it was over, he was buried. So they felt hopeless and alone, and the future was bleak. And while they were talking about the sad events of Good Friday in Jerusalem, they discussed scripture. And then a stranger joined their walk and started explaining scripture to them. And he knew what he was talking about. That was obvious. So they invited the stranger to share their evening meal with them. Now, while they were breaking bread, exactly as Jesus had instructed them to do in remembrance of him after he was gone, they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And suddenly the puzzle fell into place for him. They believed. What did they do? Continue to Emmaus? No. Bible says they went back to Jerusalem with joy. Yeah, their direction was indeed from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But the discovery that Jesus was alive made the difference. They felt their hearts burning, their hope and their joy returned, and that made them change their direction. Now they were going from Emmaus to Jerusalem, back to the tasks waiting for them. How can we say it? For them, in that moment, the funeral became a festival. The defeated and downhearted followers would soon become unstoppable apostles, and they would never, ever doubt Jesus again. And that is the beginning of the period today that would lead us up to the day of Pentecost, when finally the Holy Spirit would break out, and where we will rejoice with the new reality of life after Christ. That changed them. They had to hide for a while. They had to scurry like rats in the dark. But there came a day when they finally spoke, and they were unstoppable. And from there, the message spread through the centuries to the ends of the world. Like us, they could no longer see Jesus with their own eyes, but something changed within them. Deep inside, they knew, they understood, and they believed. And therefore, they would never return to Emmaus. Emmaus, symbol of a place of lost hope. Now, actually, the ancient 7 miles between Jerusalem and Emmaus are still being traveled by all who ever had an encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. Actually, we're still traveling it this very day. And all who traveled on that road discovered that their direction is determined by their personal understanding of Jesus. Some who became aware of him are moving away from Jerusalem with sad and somber thoughts about the good old days when Jesus was still with them. But for them, Jesus is history, past tense. Faith and hopes for them are things of the past. And then others have their backs turned to Emmaus. They are facing Jerusalem, where danger, challenge, and task waited. The difference is they are filled with faith, with hope and love, and they are ready for action, ready for service, because something real, something dramatic, something lasting happened in their lives. Now, these two people described in the Bible, some say probably it was a husband and a wife, had their own Emmaus experience. It touched them, it changed them, their lives would never be the same again. You see, the real dividing line in human existence has nothing to do with physical life and death. The real dividing line in human existence is within the human spiritual heart. Either you have a living faith or you don't. No third choice. Either you have a living faith in God or you don't. There is a definite line between cold and uncaring or warm and loving. It is between the heart that is defeated and filled with doubt and despair, or the heart that is hopeful and filled with excitement and expectation. Here's the truth. Some of us won't believe it, but anyone can read you and me like a book. If you and I had an Emmaus experience, we will not be able to hide it. This makes me think of our dog, little tail. When that dog is happy, you know what that little tail does? No way, no way that the dog can hide the fact that there's happiness inside. I think somehow people are also like that. Try as you may, you will never be able to hide the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. It can be seen in the way that you and I walk, the way that you and I talk, and very especially in the way that you and I deal with one another. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He was referring to a quality of life deep inside us. Nothing to do with our medical condition or our age. The life that Jesus gave in abundance is a quality of life that we possess or don't possess deep inside. So, what is an Emmaus experience? Now, today's scripture is very clear about this. It all started with understanding. There was a discussion about faith. There was a discussion about scripture, about references through the entire Bible of those days, the Hebrew Testament. And there came some understanding when they projected it, what happened in Jerusalem during those days. And they were talking, as anyone would do on their way away, about the great events that took place. And then, lo and behold, fortunately enough, somebody walked with them and talked with them and taught them the significance of what took place in Jerusalem during those days. And only then were they able to understand and interpret who Jesus really was. Well, okay, they understood. They interpreted. But they were not yet involved. But then, in this happening, then came the morning. Then the light broke through. And suddenly they understood for the first time who Jesus is and who they were. And everything he told them began to make real sense. And then they believed. Then they believed who Jesus was. And everything seemed to fall into place. Everything he ever said became clear to them. Now they were involved. No way that they could continue their journey to Emmaus. No way. No longer. But this is the beauty. This is the beauty of Scripture that fills us from the inside out, just thinking, of what the Bible says, as they broke the bread, they recognized a presence. Jesus became visible in the breaking of the bread. For almost a decade now, we had the privilege on Sundays, once a month, to break bread together, to tell one another by the breaking, the eating of the bread, the drinking of the wine, what God did for us through Jesus Christ. Here, our bonds are formed, solidified. And how often have you and I sensed the presence of God as we broke the bread? Jesus still becomes visible in the breaking of the bread, even in our times, and will be after you and I are gone. See, they change direction. No longer Emmaus, but now facing Jerusalem. And this makes the ancient biblical story very personal and very direct for us here today. Sounds like a simple question, but are you underway to Emmaus? Or are you underway into a future with Jesus in the reality of Jerusalem, there where challenge and opportunity awaits? With burning hearts, we recognize him, the breaking of the bread. And maybe, who knows, just this very morning, you and I will once again sense God's presence. Never ever to let us doubt again. Gospel is good news. It's not solemn. It's sensational. It's not a burden. It's a bonanza. God offers new life in the wake of Easter. The Christian faith never intended to bring sorrow or sadness or people disappearing into the darkness. Our relationship with God through Christ is not intended for sorrow. It's intended for celebration. That's why we sing, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen.